You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
That's Head Start by Jeremy Loops, and I'm very privileged to have Jeremy sitting right here in the studio with me. Good evening, Jeremy, and welcome to Zone Radio.
Hello. What's going on, everyone out there?
You! It's lovely to have you here. It's been a long time. I don't think you've ever been to Zone Radio before, have you?
This is my first time. I'm very, very privileged to be here. And it's a lovely day out there. Sun shining through the studio on my face. Absolutely. I'm loving it.
And he was singing along to that song as we were listening to it as well, which is great.
I like my own songs. That's one of my favorites. That one, Head Start.
Oh, really? I think that was the last one we received from you. So
I go through phases of liking different songs of my own. Well, I suppose once you when I'm writing them, I love them all equally, like my babies. But when I release them, then they take on lives of their own, and I start writing new songs, and I forget certain ones. And some of them I play live, so they stay with me, and other songs don't get played live, so I kind of forget about them for a while. But that's a song that we've been incorporating into the live show.
Okay.
So I played it this weekend, and it just goes down really well live. So I start loving it more and more.
Wow, that's great. One of my favorites is still Postcards. I love that one. I absolutely love that one. And I just want to tell the listeners, if they want to interact with you, they can WhatsApp us in the studio. The number is 072-447-8044. And I see a comment has come through already. It's all good, man. It's tough in radio, but I believe you'll get there someday. I don't know who that is. Megan. Do you know Megan?
Oh, potentially. I know a couple of Megans.
I don't know what she means by that, but anyway.
You've got to be careful when you just accept random WhatsApps from the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, guys, come on. Send me some good WhatsApps out there. If you know me, I've been in the Valley my whole life, so I'm sure some of my friends and family or extended people are listening.
I hope so. I really do. So we have a listener who's in the UK, and he says that he saw you, he heard you on Radio 2 in the UK many years ago. So there we go. So he's looking forward to the interview today as well.
Yeah, nice. Love playing in the UK, and yeah, we've had some big success there over the years, and always been ages since we've been there. I've taken a long sabbatical from touring this year. So
have you? So you were born and bred in Komiki, I believe.
Yes.
And are you still living in Komiki, or?
I'm building my house in Komiki.
Oh, wow.
And I am living in Musenberg for the last 5 or 6 years already.
Okay.
I love it there. So it's been a very slow look. When I say I'm building, I mean the building hasn't even started. I bought a piece of land there. bought my dream piece of land in Kom, and it's been a long, slow 4 years of planning what I want to do there. But we love living in Musenberg as well. I've lived there for ages. So it's kind of tough to I think also, like, building your own house is kind of like the dream.
Yes.
And I'm apprehensive about, like, finishing the dream too soon, you know. I'm still young enough where I'm like, if I build my dream house and studio in Kom, then what? You know, then I'm just going to want to hermit in my studio and write songs and water my garden. I don't know. So I'm kind of keeping one foot in the city by staying in Musenberg, where I'm still kind of close enough to be a little bit out there. And anyways, still very much a valley kid for sure.
Well, we were in Komiki on Saturday for the festival. I couldn't believe how much it has grown. It's just become quite – it's a lot bigger than when we lived there. We lived there about 10 years ago.
Was there anything that floats happening?
Yeah.
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 I was competing in the anything that floats between ages like 8 and 15. Like religiously, I was taking part in that. We won it a couple of years.
Oh, good.
But
you didn't take part this year then?
I didn't know. I was busy this year, unfortunately.
Oh. Anyway, so you've been around since 2011, I believe. And I must be honest with you that the first time I heard who Jeremy Loops was, because I'm an old retro girl, you understand, is I was driving home from my corporate job many years ago, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't get home because the traffic was just backed up. And it was because you were performing at Kirstenbosch.
Yes. Yeah, those Kirstenbosch shows are one of our big ones every year, and they will definitely affect the traffic.
I couldn't believe how a South African artist could attract such a great audience, because it's not often that happens for South African artists, which is incredibly sad for me, I believe, because we have so much talent in this country. We really do. But you've made a huge success of your career. And what do you believe your secret is?
I don't know. I think there's definitely an element of luck in there, in the right place at the right time with the right music and the right energy. I also think that, I had, when I started, I had kind of a niche thing going on. No, mm-hmm. no one had ever heard of this looping thing that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the first, generation of, I learned how to play music on YouTube. I was like a YouTube artist. I was at business school at the time. I was 21 years old. I was at UCT studying a finance, property development and finance degree. So I was doing something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struggling with that degree. I'd been coming out of high school. I was very terrified of what on earth I was going to do for a living in this country, which feels so, full of perils for youngsters.
Yeah.
And I ended up settling on, I should do something like really proper. I should try and like get into the best possible degree I can achieve with my marks. And I managed to get into UCT's business school and off I went. But then I just absolutely hated all of that. And I was terrible at it as well. I was failing accounting for the first 2 years, both years, having to redo accounting and struggling through law and economics and statistics. I even did this one subject called financial maths, which is
sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's as bad, if not worse, than it sounds. It's like where you take maths and you put it together with finance. And
mm-hmm.
anyways, it was somewhere during that third year or second year when I was in the depths of this financial maths course that I just thought to myself, like, I'm going to need to make a real significant change in my life if I'm going to be, happier.
Mm.
And I started learning. That was when I started learning guitar in earnest. I basically like would get home every day and instead of studying, I would open YouTube and I would learn how to do different cover songs, and I was just kind of teaching myself, very humbly, like trying to learn guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I also have always had this very gruff type of voice, so mm-hmm. I never considered myself having any potential to be a singer.
Good grief.
And so I never sang my whole life. I maybe hummed in the car a little bit, but when people say, like, did you always want to be a performer? I was like, man, I think I only sang my first notes when I was maybe 24 years old, a couple of years before I started officially being Jeremy Loops. So I was very late to everything, and I found while I was doing my online musical meanderings, I found these guys in the UK looping, like internationally mm-hmm. loop pedals had become a thing, and people were starting to mess around with this new technology of looping sounds. So I went and bought this loop pedal, and long before anyone in South Africa was cottoning onto this trend, I was obsessing with this idea of looping, but it also came out of necessity.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any musical training, so I would have loved to perform with a band, but one, I wasn't singing yet, mm-hmm. and I had no courage to sing. And then two, I didn't know how to read music or how to work with a band or collaborate with other musicians. I'd never done that. I didn't have any musicians around me growing up, so when I got this loop pedal, it was like this absolute loophole in the system where I could strum my own guitar into it. I could beatbox some bad beats
mm-hmm.
and kind of layer up my own one-man band thing.
Yeah.
And that just blew my mind. I was like, man, I can actually write my own songs using mm-hmm. this machine. And I can, I might not be able to play the bass guitar well, but I had a bass guitar and I'd put the bass guitar in. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, the point is I ended up writing all these songs and not telling anyone about it. For 2 years, I just went absolutely ballistic, just nonstop practicing. I definitely got my 10,000 hours over the course of my university degree.
Right.
And then eventually I started like playing some of these songs for my friends, and all of them were just like, man, that's insane. What's going on here? What is that thing? So I started doing some busking, and mm-hmm. I didn't have any money. I was like, coming from Corm, like not being very well funded, like needing to try and figure out how at the age of 24, 25 to make some extra money. So I thought, well, I'm going to start just busking. Mm-hmm. I went to the biscuit mill in town, and I started, took my loop pedal and a speaker, and I just went and humbly started like showing people what I was doing, and no one had seen loop pedals, so I garnered quite a lot of attention just because it was quite novel and people were interested. And also I was doing like beatbox harmonica because I was obsessed with harmonica at the same time. So I was doing all these kind of niche things and throwing it all together. Mm-hmm. And the result was that people started following my busking sessions around, you know. So I kind of grew a cult following from busking, which turned into a little residency that I did in the city where we started playing at that that bar called Rafiki's.
Okay.
And I made a deal with the owner of Rafiki's and I said, I'll come and busk or play my live looping show and let people from the audience come up and I'll loop them in live. And so I did these very interactive shows in the beginning where anyone could come up and I would loop them in to my songs, and the songs would feel very organic and loud and collaborative in that sense.
Yeah.
So I think that that spark of how I started was what really got people talking and led to, I think it was maybe 2.5-3 years after those early busking days that we sold out our first Kirstenbosch. And that is, I think we last year just sold out our 9th Kirstenbosch.
Wow.
So we've always had, I think, the people on our side. I've always, and I've never been part of the, I think it's always been a very like collective attitude and people have always felt very much a part of the show. And it's always been about the live show for me. And, you know, I think a lot of artists go a very different route. You know, they maybe start with music. They start with trying to get that music onto radio. And for me, I had massive live audiences long before any radio stations were playing me.
Mm-hmm.
So when the station started playing us as well, it just kind of started cascading in and we started really like, you know, getting it out there. But we had already had a big show. So then it was easy to go and tour that show. And yeah.
It's an incredible story. I mean, most youngsters grow up wanting to be a musician, but it sounds like that was never in your thoughts at the time when you were younger.
No ways.
It's an amazing story. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it was also, I was lucky because my vocals, which are, I always thought growing up, are so gruff and unpredictable and surely not like a very good singing voice, ended up translating onto recordings and albums very well. So like when I started finally recording my music, I think one of the first producers I worked with said, you know, you're actually really lucky because most artists I work with, their voices are so sweet that you can't tell them apart when you listen back on the recording. So they don't have a distinct character to their voice. He's like, and your voice is very distinct. And that's actually a good thing. And I was like, okay, well, I have to take your word for it at this stage. And I remember listening back to those recordings of my first album and kind of almost cringing and being like, oh, man, I just don't know if I've got a good enough voice for this. But then we released the album and everyone loved it. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's fine.
And people are still loving it after all these years, which is incredible.
No, I've been in denial about whether or not I'm really a musician for years.
I think you can accept it now, Jeremy. Yes, you are. I've got a message here. It says, Jezza, welcome in the valley from the Fishtail Boys.
That's
Johan Kruger. Yeah.
Yeah, how's that, Johan? Ahoy.
Thank you, Johan.
Those are some of the guys I go fishing with out in the deep. Yeah,
okay.
The Fishtails team are a great, great group of guys to go fishing with for sure.
Now, I saw something else that you're not only involved in music, you're also involved in sort of almost like a Greenpeace kind of vibe.
Greenpeace. It's an environmental
organization. Yeah,
we plant trees. It's called Green Pop.
Green Pop.
And the idea is to make greening and environmentalism popular. And
are you still involved with that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. In the beginning of Green Pop, I started working with Green Pop before I started Jeremy Loops. It was when I finished university, I kind of was very unsure of what I wanted to do with my life, obviously, based on how much I'd not enjoyed my studies. But I was very stubborn. I did finish my degree. I even stuck around and wrote my thesis and got my honors. And
well done.
When I finished all that, I thought to myself, like, I need to do something that actually makes me excited. And there were a bunch of people who came together, friends who were all kind of drifting at that time, wanting to make a change. We all were full of inspiration for what this country could be. And so we founded together an organization called Green Pop with the aim of planting trees in underprivileged schools, orphanages, old age homes all across our kind of Cape Flats broader mm-hmm. area.
Right.
And it started as just an idea to plant some trees with friends and mm. use those trees really as a method to kind of bridge the gap between kids and families at some of the schools.
Yeah.
And bringing, you know, like trendy young hip kids from the city out into places that they aren't normally going, and actually getting people working together in the soil and just, yeah, using the trees just as a platform to mm. get people working together out mm. in the gardens and mm. stuff. And a lot of those schools in our Cape Flats don't have trees at all.
Yeah, I know, which is so sad, isn't it? I mean, think about your childhood. We were always playing under trees or climbing trees, and it was so much part of a childhood.
Such a big part yeah. of what makes and also what gives us pride of place. You know, people complain and say, well, you know, our townships are dirty and full of litter, and mm. why do people not care about, you know, people can't care about having pride in a place when that place doesn't look beautiful.
Exactly.
And so a big part of our mandate has been to try to beautify schools, like okay. go into schools that are the most needy mm-hmm. and plant trees. And that was now 12 or 13 years ago.
Right.
This Friday we have our yearly staff party, our big kind of yearly birthday party, and we have planted more than 450,000 trees in more than 400 schools, orphanages, old age homes across the country.
That's incredible.
And we've done multiple reforestation festivals as well. So yeah, everything is really firing on all cylinders there, and it's lovely to be a part of. I used to be the CFO for the first 5 years. I was Jeremy Loops and finance guy, paying everyone's salaries, trying to keep
the
ship.
Degree paid off.
It did pay off. But when Jeremy Loops like took off, and I really couldn't do both anymore, I hung up my hat there, and now I'm just on the board of directors and help oversee things and just bring extra ears and eyes to the whole.
Okay. Well, here's a message for you. Hi, Jeremy. See you on the 2nd from Bones, Lauren, Chris, and the kids.
Oh, Bones. We like it. Yeah, that's Bones is one of my old chums from Komaki as well. That's great to hear. Yeah, everyone is getting excited for the big show in Newtonburg.
Yes, we're going
to
talk about that in a minute. I've just had another question from Sharon. She says, how did Jeremy come to give his car to the chap who sells the big issue, if it's a true story?
That car was passed. Yeah, that was my first car. It first went to my sister. That car had a funny story.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first car. And then I was surfing one day at Long Beach in Komaki.
Yeah.
And one of my friends came running into the water, like screaming and shouting and waving his arms, and I was on the back line, and I could hear he was calling my name, and I was like looking at him like, what, I'm out here at the back, what are you? And he was saying, come in. So I paddled in, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And he said, someone's driving in your car's just been stolen. And I was like, well, why did you come and chase me down? Well, if you were here in your car, you should have chased them. And he was like, well, I don't want to chase some O's. I don't know where they're going to go. And I was like, oh, my God, Travis, you're useless. So anyways, we ran up and long story short, my car was gone and mm-hmm. missing. We thought it was a write-off, missing for 6 months. And I was able to get some insurance. Mm-hmm. I was able to buy myself a new car.
Right.
And then 6 months later, the car was found on like the border of Mozambique and South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And it had been used for all sorts of things. They think it was maybe used for drug running and all sorts. Anyways, the car was in such a state.
Mm-hmm.
Smelled horrific. Like they had been transporting all sorts of manure in there. I don't know what it was. And I went to the insurance company who had brought it back, the salvage company.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to buy it back from them for 20,000 rand. Because it was basically, like, as far as they were concerned, scrap. But it was still kind of going. But anyways, so I bought it back, and we got it. My family and I got it fixed up, and we passed it on to my sister, who was just kind of turning 18.
Right.
And so she got my old car, which had been through the wars, but was actually quite fine still.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drove it for years. And then eventually we gave it to a guy that worked for us, who'd been working with us for a long time,
mm-hmm.
who is that person who then it ended up
Okay. What a lovely story.
And yeah, I still see it around. It's still out there.
What make of car is it?
It's a little Renault Clio.
They go on forever and ever, don't they?
They really do, yeah. It's got this Arne sticker on the back, so I always know it's mine. It's like old surf sticker that's like baked into the car now, all these years later. So.
What a lovely story. Thank you for that question, Sharon. All right, let's get on to the festival now, the concert. It's an open-air concert. It's happening at Musenberg in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was this? Yours?
Yeah, the Cape Open Air has been something I've been dreaming about for years. It's just basically, I've always felt that the whole Deep South Valley, and obviously growing up here, I feel like we've never really had a big music culture in the valley. I think there's lots of music lovers, but growing up, like, I wasn't exposed to all the cool bands that were playing. Like, you kind of had to be going to the city if you wanted to see stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I became a musician, I realized that, man, like, I don't know half of what I'm supposed to know as a musician in this country about the music culture of this country. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that I grew up in Komaki, where I was so, like, we didn't have bands coming out to play out here. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we've got a couple of venues and bands will play at the Brass Bell and they might play here at Cafe Roo.
Mm.
But we don't have anything substantial. We don't have any bigger shows that kind of happen.
Yeah.
So I've been dreaming up for years how I could find a way to find a spot that was accessible to the whole Deep South, but big enough to have, you know, 2,500 people hosted and have it feel like a real thing. So, yeah, we spent lots of time looking around and eventually negotiating with the city for whether we could use the Musenberg Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that all right this year. So
well done.
We put together this idea for the Cape Open Air, and people can imagine, I suppose, like a mini Kirstenbosch. It's got space for, you know, 2,500 people, 2,000 people, and it's like that. The park is quite, people don't even realize Musenberg has that park, but it's beautiful and it's sloping, and the stage will be at the bottom so you can see the sea in the background.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite sheltered up there as well. I can already see ahead on my news, my weather app, that the weather is looking perfect for the weekend.
It's looking great for Sunday, especially, so,
So we've basically decided to run it as like a two-day festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be on the Saturday, on the 2nd of December. And so it's not this weekend, the next weekend. And then on the 3rd of December, the Sunday again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to headline the one night, the Saturday. And Manga Groove will headline the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take lots of risk to book Manga Groove.
Yeah.
I thought, like, they would be quite a cool act to have because we've just won the rugby and people are all feeling quite sentimental and inspired.
Absolutely.
And Manga Groove are one of those bands that remind me so much of my childhood and the music that was playing in the house and just a lot of joy there. And they're still playing and they're still such a great live act. So yeah, we're bringing them down from Johannesburg, and I spoke to Claire and she said, well, this will be the furthest south they've ever played.
And I thought, incredible.
That's also really cool. So it's both days have two big bands, us playing on the Saturday as the headliner and Manga Groove on the Sunday. But on both days, there's big local lineups as well. We've got like all our best local talent are playing on both days. I think there's six bands on each day.
Wow.
So it's really like you arrive at 12, bring your umbrella, bring your blankets, and you are there. We've got all the food vendors coming. We've got lots of bar space and
parking, will it be an issue or not really?
No, we've actually made a deal with the traffic department. We're going to have extra hands on site there, and we're going to have people being directed to keep the traffic flow relatively good. Opposite the park, there's quite a big parking lot, which is going to have a lot of space.
Okay.
And then the whole of Musenberg Beach has loads of parking where people can park as well.
Okay.
So we expect it to all run relatively smoothly.
That's great. And I wish you lots of success with it because the people have been calling for a concert around here for a very long time.
Yeah, especially for me. I never get to play down in the south because if I play at the small venues, then I have warfare on my hands because it'll sell out so quickly and none of my friends and family will get those 200 tickets.
Yeah.
And then I end up having to field complaints and emails. So for me, it's a lot easier if we can just find a big enough venue to book and sell those tickets and get everyone there at once.
And are there any tickets left or are they all sold out?
There are some tickets left. My show on the Saturday is getting very close to sell out. Mm-hmm. And the show on Sunday, we obviously launched more recently. So Mango Groove still have some more tickets available. But
okay.
I think we should probably be giving some of the viewers, your listeners at least, some mm-hmm. a ticket. Are we allowed
yes,
to do?
Yes, we're going to be drawing two lucky names tonight.
Okay, from, so we're doing a bit of a ticket giveaway.
Yes, we're giving, we're giving two double tickets away tonight to the Mango Groove concert. So people have entered. We've got their names in a bag here, and you're going to be drawing two names for us in a few minutes.
Okay, nice.
Okay, so that's for the Sunday with Mango Groove. But if you have, if you're not a winner tonight, you can still get a ticket through Web Tickets for both days.
That's right. And we're also running a deal where if you buy for both days,
yes,
then you get a discount for a kind of weekend pass, yes. I suppose.
I saw that. It was $5.55 for the 2 days, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's worth mentioning to the listeners that for 12 acts, we have kept the prices absolutely as low as they possibly could go. Mm. I think there were a lot of conversations leading into this about, like, do we try and make some money from this and charge a decent ticket price? And my feedback to my team was, absolutely, I want to just keep these tickets rock bottom
mm-hmm.
and make it as accessible to the whole Deep South as possible and just make it really a celebration of local music. And hopefully it can be something that happens every year. So, yeah, please keep in mind that we've kept those ticket prices as low as we can to support
absolutely.
The local scene, and that all the bands playing are, you know, very much
okay.
needing that support.
Absolutely.
I'm such a believer that we have to support our local bands. So
and
it's
really
a platform.
$2.95 to see all those acts is just really, really, very reasonable. It truly is. I mean, most people will pay that to go and see a show at Cafe Rouge to see one artist.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely. All right, so should we do the draw now? Because I wanted to ask you about, because apparently you're involved with Up the Creek as well.
We can do it. Well, it's the order's up to you. You tell me. You're the host.
Am I?
Am I the host? If I'm hosting, I'd like to read the news in Afrikaans. I did that once on another station. They were like, "Yeah, would you like to?" They said, "Oh, we just have to take a break to read the news." And I said, "Oh, I'll read the news." And she said, "Yeah, okay, you can read it." And then I got there, and the news was in Afrikaans, which I'm terrible at. So I was.
But you're from Komiki. You should speak.
I do. Ekraat, maar is net so goed nie.
Net nie so goed nie. Mijne ook nie. Moenie worry nie. All right, let's do that draw because I know people are waiting in anticipation. So should we do the draw first?
Yeah, let's do the draw first. So you've actually got a bag here. We were going to fake this for the audience. But
we
have a raffle bag. I'm just going to shake it in front of the microphone so you can hear it here.
And I should do a drum roll if I could find one.
I've got one here.
There we go. And our first winner of a double set of tickets is
Hazel Tutt.
Hazel Tutt. There we go. You're the first winner, Hazel. Well done.
Very nice.
All right. Now we need another name.
Second name. Do you want another drum roll?
Yeah. I like your drum roll. There we go.
Okay.
No,
we got
Rory Abba will not be playing.
Who we got here? Tanya Steele.
Tanya Steele and Hazel Tutt. Well done. You are our two winners tonight. Fantastic.
Lovely.
So what will happen is the I've got your email addresses. That's why you had to send them to me. Your tickets will be emailed to you by Darren Lee. And so you should receive those in the next couple of days from Darren. Thank you, Jeremy. That's very exciting for those two people. Thank you. Right. So do you want to quickly tell us about Up the Creek? Because that's also, that's been going for a long time. I didn't know you were involved with that.
Up the Creek it's our second oldest festival in the country. It's
correct.
Been running for 32 years, and mm-hmm. it was my favorite festival for many years. It's one of the ones that me and my friends all used to go out to. It's obviously on the Breda River, and it's one of the, probably the only festivals. Really, it's certainly the only festival in South Africa that does it. But I think I've played festivals all over the world now, and I've never seen anything like it. And the unique thing about that festival is obviously that it's on the river. Mm. And it's, so there's a stage up on the top, on the big green pasture there. But then you come down to the river, and there's a stage on the river, the river stage. And everyone just watches the music from their lilos in the river.
Yes.
And I just always thought that that was like the best, because I grew up going to kind of, you know, I don't know, some festivals where there would be one little small dam and all the revelers and people were in the dam crammed for space, and the dam water looked so dirty halfway through the festival, and you were like, oh, I'm so hot and I want to get in there, but I don't want to get in there. And yeah, when I first went up the creek, I was like, wow, this is a dream. You've got this beautiful flowing Breda River and everyone just floating on their lilos listening to all this music. So I've always been attached to the festival. And yeah, then last year sometime I got wind that there was a potential to get more involved. And yeah, long story short, myself and my manager, Damon Forbes, have ended up buying into the festival. And so we are now part owners and we've joined the team, and we are going to be just helping, yeah, make sure that that festival not only sticks around as one of the longest standing festivals, but we're going to help just expand on the vibe and bring
it bigger and better.
And the nice thing is that the size of it won't change. It's limited by its space because it's at the specific venue. So we're not going to make it bigger, but we want to just really make sure we're bringing in the best bands. The nice thing about that festival is that it's got a mandate to have a full local lineup. So it's never been trying to attract big internationals and thinking, you know, we need international bands to sell tickets. It's always been about 50 local bands over 4 days. And so it's a lot of local music and really quite a wide variety of it. So there's a bit of everything for everyone.
It's not genre specific, is it? No.
No. It's always been really about like having, I mean, this year we've got an absolutely wildly good lineup. Well, next year when it happens in February. And the tickets are almost sold out already. It's we're 4 months out and I think we are at 75% capacity. So yeah, if you've ever thought about coming to Up the Creek, let this be the year. It is going to be one of the best, and it's always such a good time.
I've seen quite a few of my friends already posting on Facebook, I've got my Up the Creek tickets already.
Yeah, it's going to sell out long in advance.
Absolutely,
And I hope that's going to become the way we do it every year. It's just something that becomes part of the woodwork and what you have to do every year. You have to get to Up the Creek. I think it's got the potential to be one of those really unique festivals that sticks around.
Great. But let's first get through the 2nd and the 3rd of December with this, first one in Musenberg,
plenty on my plate. It's been nice to move into the space, you know. I think, like, as a musician who's done good things in my career, there comes a point where you wonder, well, what is next?
Well, I was going to ask you that. So is this where you're going now? Are you going to be supporting local music as best you can?
I think it feels like the natural place, you know. I've never had very glossy eyes for the idea of going and moving to New York or LA or London to try to crack it on, you know, the international stage as the only thing. I think a lot of artists with the international success I've had would have probably jumped ship by now. And I think it's got a lot to do with having grown up here in the valley. When you grow up here, you really struggle to imagine wanting to be anywhere else.
Anywhere else, exactly.
And so my dream has always been to kind of do well enough to move back. And so being, you know, having that piece of land in Cormann, building a house there, I have no aspiration to spend any more time, and I will need to spend a lot of time overseas. I'll be touring overseas every year for many years to come. So, my dream is to be able to be here as much as I can every year.
This is going to be your base, yeah.
And I think if I'm going to be able to sell out big shows myself, I really should be doing them on my own terms, you know. So it's been about just starting to take that risk ourselves, put the money up. It is horrifying running your own shows. It's a very small margin business, and it's really a passion thing a lot of the time. Not many people who put on shows and festivals make much money from it, and a lot of the time, if anything, they lose money.
Yeah, I've heard
so
that.
The aspiration there is to kind of create a platform for other young artists who are struggling to find platforms right now, which is the problem in South Africa.
It is.
Venues are closing down. Support for live music has been on the decrease. People don't have money to spend. And so I'm trying to see if I can inject some extra passion and love into that space and just bring what I can to it.
Well, thank you for that, because local music is a passion of ours here as well, and it breaks my heart to see so many musicians really, really struggling. And So, yeah, thank you for all that you do for the musicians, and thank you for the music that you provide us with. And it's been absolutely fabulous chatting to you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Hey, I like it. I'm very grateful to be able to do what I do, and yeah, always humbled. So thanks for having me on.
You have your own recording studio, don't you?
I do. In my house. It's a home recording studio, okay. But yeah, I've got a...
So you're opening that up for other artists as well, I guess?
The house I'm building in Komaki is going to have a studio that will probably live on to become... the Weaver's Nest Studios, or I don't know, I've got names for it. So yeah, I think the next, right now I'm still like very much in the throes of writing and creating my own music. But I think 5 years from now, I imagine moving into that producer A&R type of role where I'm producing other bands.
All right.
I've been creating the structures to, there's a few bands that I've locally been involved in their careers, like Sean Koch and a few others where... we've kind of brought them under the wing and let them work within our systems somewhat. So my manager and I have definitely been developing a management structure and a music production structure that when the time is right, I'll start building up other artists specifically.
But fantastic.
For now, I'm still pretty much just trying to get my own album done.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to that as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
So all the best. I hope this festival, the Open Air Festival, is a huge success. Well, concert is not really a festival. And I hope the Up the Creek one is just as successful.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving all the airtime as well and helping us spread the word to the local community. That's been my biggest fear, is that people locally won't know about it because the other thing about the Deep South, as you might, I don't know how it is for you guys, but we're not the most tech savvy bunch. So when we market a show in Cape Town, we just have to put it on Instagram and on social media and people will see it. But when we market shows here in the South, a lot of people that know about you aren't following you online. So we've been going back to the drawing board. We've been putting posters up everywhere and, you know, that's been a big part of ours. So I think it's so perfect that you guys as a local station with good local support are coming on to kind of just help us spread that message and get the local people knowing. I think if everyone knows Mango Groove are playing, you know, 2 weeks Sunday from now in the park, right down the road.
Exactly.
They'd be going.
Yes.
But we just need to get them to know about it.
For sure. Well, we've been punting it for a couple of weeks and we keep playing lots of Mango Groove as well. So Sharon says...
And my show, of course.
Of course, we play a lot of Jeremy Loops. She says, I just love Jeremy Loops. Pity I didn't win the tickets. Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't win either, Sharon, but not everyone can win. But nevertheless, you can still buy your tickets. There are some available. So go and get your tickets now.
Absolutely.
Go to web tickets and get your tickets for those 2 days. And remember, there is a special for the 2 days. There's a weekend pass of about $5.55, which is really cool considering all the musicians you're going to get have access to.
You're going to see everything you need for the next year.
Absolutely.
That's been the point, is kind of like make sure that people get to see so much live music that they're just absolutely full and remembering that we've got a lot of talent to support and just supporting them.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for coming in. We chatted a little bit longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, we went on. I'm sorry, I'm very chatty.
No, that's fine. I like it. I could have chatted to you all night, actually, but I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, you know what it was? I was in studio. I've been in studio since 10 o'clock this morning working on music recording, and this was my first outing of the day. So I drove here.
Shame, and you had to look at me.
No, it's been lovely to look at you. It was the first time I got out the house. Oh. And I'm being socializing again. Oh, so this awesome. Has felt like, I've just been Chatty Sally on here having a good time because and then now I'm going back and I have to go straight back again. My producer, my engineer's in the studio waiting for me to come back.
So all right.
We're doing late nights, early mornings and late nights at the moment. So thanks for giving me a little outing.
We do hope you'll come back and visit us again and give us an update on the concert and how it went. It would be awesome to hear from
you
again.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to play out with a song by Grassy Spark, which features you. Called Living in a Paradise.
Yes, I love the Grassy
And that'll
boys.
Follow with Dance Some More by Mango Groove. So let's take a listen to these two. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming in.
All the best.
All
Thanks
the best.
So much.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Cheerio.